Hey, Magic fans, this is Kristen Ledlow from NBA TV and NBA Inside Stuff, and you're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast. Now, it's over to Geraint, Mikey, and Paul. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome to Orlando Magic UK's weekly podcast, Penny for Your Thoughts. Tonight is episode 133. So on today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at the Eastern Conference as it stands and where we think the Magic will ultimately fit in this season, plus some Magic news and much more. But without further ado, I'm joined by two handsome devils here. One's just come off the Baywatch set. How are we, Mr. Baker?
Marvellous as always, my friend. And yes, feeling good. I felt after running up a street a couple of weeks ago, I thought I'd better start doing some more exercise. And I have started doing a little bit of the old running. So yeah, I'm feeling good, mate. Feeling good.
Oh, good man. Good man. Me and you both. I was just telling Gary before we came on that, I'm trying to get a little bit fitter as well. And taking to the old running. So happy days. And Mr. Craggs, how are we, sir?
I was just thinking there when you said you were running there, geez, is this like the beach running so you can be with Paul? Like,
yeah, I know it is. I aspire to be like him.
Pamela Anderson to my David Hasselhoff. I mean, I tell you what, that is a vision of G wearing a one piece cut in the way that those red ones were is not something that anybody needs.
Well, I just thought there, Paul, if you were Bagenhoff, I've got to say, does that make G.J. Parker? Because that was our character, wasn't it, in Baywatch?
It was, yes.
How are you, G.J.? You all right?
I'm all right, thank you, mate. Yeah, all good here. I'm going to mention it now, actually. We dropped a new T-shirt on the old Teamio website. So I'll just quickly jump to that little plug. So obviously we've got our website, magicfansapparel.teamio.com. All links will be in the podcast description. But should we tell the story, Paul? So after the last podcast, we had a bit of banter after. we had a bit of banter about the whole David Hasselhoff thing. So I had the little idea. I thought, right, what if we get Orlando Magic UK in the same font as the Baywatch logo on a T-shirt? So everybody logs off, etc. I get the laptop out, fire it up, find the font, or as close as I could to the font of said program. Get to work, put it on there. We get a text message then in the morning from Paul. What did it say, Paul?
I think I accused Mikey of it being such a bit. I don't think I used the word idiot. I may have made reference to Grady Dick or something of that nature.
Yeah. But essentially, there's new T-shirts on the store, and you can get Orlando Magic UK in homage to Paul's actions at the first party we had a couple of weeks ago in the Baywatch format. It's quite a nice T-shirt, isn't it?
It's not bad at all, mate. We need to do it. You need to get it organised in the red and yellow. Red T-shirt with the yellow logo, yeah, with the yellow writing, if you've not already done so.
I haven't done that yet. No. We need to do that.
Absolutely. We've just got it in magic colours last I saw.
I've heard a rumour, Paul, that in a couple of years' time there's going to be an Orlando Magic City edition in red and yellow. Like a story behind it. It's all set in Mansfield.
The only time we've got sand is if it's there's a beach in the marketplace, and that rarely happens. Folks have just let the dogs go in it.
Yeah. Right, so I'll just get the other plug out of the way. So please support today's episode by shopping with Fanatics UK. It's stocking the latest sports merchandise, including the NBA, NFL, MLB, football, and there's a lot of Premier League shirts that have dropped in recent weeks. Liverpool's have dropped, Manchester United, I think Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, etc. You can obviously get 10% off your entire order using our code MAGICUK10 at the checkout. Other codes are available and might get you more than the 10% that we do offer. All the links are in the affiliate links, which will be at the bottom of this podcast. So then, Magic news for this week. So on Wednesday, the NBA announced that the Magic will face the Atlanta Hawks in the 2023 Mexico game in Mexico City. That will be on Thursday, the 9th of November. We're not sure yet if it'll be a Magic home game or a Hawks home game. But in recent years, every time we've played away, we've lost our home game, haven't we? So remains to be seen. But at the same time, the Osceola Magic, our G League affiliate, will also be playing in Mexico City against the Mexico City Capitans. What? Is that how you say it, Paul? You're the dictionary corner.
You're coming to me for linguistics assistance. Outrageous.
You know the Queen's English better than most of us, mate. So so they'll be playing on Friday, the 10th of November. And then so we're not sure. We'll break it when we find out if the Magic are losing a home game or not. Any thoughts on this, guys? Gary?
If I was taking the positive thought on it, I'd be saying it potentially expands our fan base, where you've got a lot of likable players playing in a market that isn't Orlando or a bias towards another home team, so to speak. And so maybe we pick up some fans in Mexico City.
So that's, absolutely. That's yeah.
I mean, they went before, didn't they? But as memory serves me, there wasn't a deal of interaction in and around the team going off the campus and the like, due to security concerns at the time. But we do have a Latin fan base, don't we? So yeah, I can see the reason for going back. It should ensure that we get a national TV game,
because
the global game stuff is always broadcast. If it's a home game, there's a little negative to it in that you are putting the players back out on the road. They're not sleeping in their own beds. There is travel involved. You aren't having your own training facilities and the medical facilities that we have, which are, as we understand, second to none. So there are, I guess, some negatives if it's a home game. The way we put it out, it did look like it was a home game.
Yeah,
as in not ourselves, but the way the Magic publicised it, it was Atlanta Hawk versus the Orlando Magic. You'd have probably expected it to be the other way around if it was their home game. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's it. I think the first time you went to Mexico City, when I think Gustavo Ayón was possibly on the team, who's obviously, I think he's a native of Mexico. So obviously there was that reason, but no, like you guys have said, you know,
we also went recently as well, didn't we? About 2017, 18, we played two games over there. We played the
Utah Bulls Jazz
and the Jazz.
That was it. Yeah. That was it. I might be wrong with that.
So this was another trip back there.
Yeah. But like you said, it's an opportunity to, you know, get a bigger fan base. We've obviously got a lot of Brazilian fans. The UK market, obviously, you know, we're one of the most supported teams in the UK, as much as the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics hate that. So, like you said, it's an opportunity. So happy days. It's just a shame it's not in Europe. And let's just hope we don't lose that home game. So we talked about Jamal Mosley being named head coach for the US select team a little bit last week. That was made official this week with the announcement and a 14-man roster that includes Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Chet Holmgren, to name but a few. No Magic names included. Any thoughts to possibly as to why? Come to you, Paul.
As to why, I find it hard to understand why. I think you can make an argument for Jalen Suggs. I think you can make an argument for Cole Anthony. I think you can make an argument for Wendell. as well, to be honest. That being said, I think the argument for Wendell is probably less so than any of the guards, because you look at the big men that are in that team are all young. You're looking to experience international competition. You're looking to have them as part of experiencing part of Team USA, the setup and the involvement with it. So the names that are there in the center positions make sense to me. I think there's less of an argument around Wendell than be it Jalen or Cole or even Markell, because why is Langston Galloway there?
That's
the one. That's the one that jumps out, Langston Galloway's name. And I get that it's made up of G League and young players gaining experience. But Langston Galloway just sort of stands out as bit of an odd one compared to some of the others. You know, you look at Kay Cunningham, Jalen Green, Chet Holmgren, Naz Reid is not a young lad particularly. Herb Jones, you've got Keegan Murray, you've got one or two younger guys there. So it would have made sense perhaps to see Jalen or Cole or even Markell included. Markell, if you want a bit more experience.
Yeah. If it's out like that.
To be honest, I was quite relieved to not see any Magic players there.
Yeah, there is that argument as well, mate. I didn't go down that one, but I agree with you on that, to be honest.
Don't want the injuries. So if we're not there, is it due to a lack of exposure? Is it something which can be used as a fuel? Would the players be... I could see some of the guys. I think Cole would probably want to compete in anything with anyone. But ultimately, it's less chance of an injury, so I'm fine, because we know that on opening night we want to have as close to possible as a full roster to compete. We don't want a repeat of last year, so we're already going to be sitting there thinking about guys like Banchero and Wagner's and stuff. We don't want to be worried about anybody else, so let them have at it. Let guys like Chet have a go.
Yeah, no, that's all fair enough. Yeah, the points you made, like Wendell, you know, he obviously needs a little bit of rest. Obviously, he only played some 60-odd games last year, and, you know, he really needs to rest that particular injury. So having a full off-season to recover. And the same could be said for Jalen Suggs, really. He hasn't had a full off-season to recuperate and have a full, you know, training camp and, you know, hit the ground running when it comes to opening part of the season. He's obviously been affected the last two years. I think he is doing some, like, an African basketball behind borders or something event. So I did see that somewhere. I haven't got the detail in front of me, but I know he's doing some sort of event this summer. So maybe that's why he's not being included. So, yeah, there we go. So we're going to focus this week on the Eastern Conference landscape. So obviously we're into the off season, still a month away from the start of the FIBA World Cup. I know some friendlies are going to occur. So we wanted to talk about the landscape of the Eastern Conference and where we saw the Magic and how they fit in possibly for this season. We're all expecting the Magic to compete for a playoff or a play-in berth at the very, you know, least this year, aren't we? But obviously there's going to be a lot of competition for spots in a talented Eastern Conference. We're waiting for the schedule. Obviously, we've got that one game penciled in for early November. And a side note on that, I'm glad we're not going in November, because that might have spoiled our holiday, the fact that Magic were out of town.
Can you imagine? I'd have been well, bro. That's my normal time of going. I'd have been really
You'd have had a hop over to Mexico City, mate.
Yeah, it just means packing up, doesn't it, knowing the two centres. Too much hassle.
Yeah. Next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll get the schedule. So obviously that's going to play a factor into our thoughts of the season. But that usually comes out on sort of by the 10th, 15th of August. So that remains to be seen. So before we start to look at the tiers, guys, how many tiers have you got when you look at the Eastern Conference there?
Who's going to go first, G?
I don't mind, mate.
Go on, Gary.
Go on, Gar.
In terms of tiers, I was very basic and I split my standings into contenders, conference finals contenders, playoff teams, play-in teams, and out.
Okay, yeah. That's with that. You haven't got one for bottom dwellers.
I've called it out.
Oh, just out. Okay.
We've not gone too differently. I had five. I've got contenders, playoff bound, play and fight, on the rise, and there is overlap between on the rise and the previous two categories, the play in and playoff bound. Okay. And then my final tier is called thanks for coming.
I like it. Yeah, no, I got five as well. Contenders, playoffs, playing zone, I called mine. I know. And then I had the young and upcoming, which had one team in it. And then I had the bottom dwellers, the three teams there. So let's start with the top then of the conference. How many teams do we see being, you know, true contenders and why? Mr. Gary Cracks.
Two. I've got two. I've got three overall contenders in the league. So I've got Denver out there from the West. I'll just quickly say something on Denver. My thing with Denver is I think they've weakened their bench. When you look at Green's gone, Brown's gone. So I think that could hurt Denver. And I believe that's why they were active in the second round this year. I think it was in the NBA draft. But I think Boston and Milwaukee are my contenders. If you want elaboration on that, I'm happy to give it.
The floor's yours if you want it, mate.
Right, okay. If he's fit, I think Porzingis is an incredible upgrade for the Celtics.
You saw him live as well, didn't you? Playing against GB.
Unreal. I know it was GB and it's not NBA level talent that played that night and such, but unreal. And when you look at where Boston's had their problems, I would say it's been with Horford's good and Williams is good and such, but Porzingis is just on a different level when he's healthy. And you've got a guy who's a three-level player. He can block shots. He's that unicorn. If he's fit, he's in that unicorn bracket with you. What you would put your Giannis in there, your Chet in there, your Wembanyama. So they've landed that if he's fit. That's the asterisk, but him fit on Boston is worrying. That's for me is they've got a legit big three there. And then Milwaukee, they've obviously had the coaching change. There was a lot going on there with Budenholzer and stuff and family issues around the playoffs, but they made a brave call. But ultimately you've got Giannis. They've got their backs to the wall because I think if the Bucks don't make the conference finals this year, there's going to be question marks about whether Giannis is going to stay in Milwaukee. Plus, Chris Middleton should be a lot more healthy than he has been in a while. And they've still got the foundation pieces there of what brought them a title. I believe they signed Robin Lopez as well. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah, Robin's there.
Yeah.
So Hook's there.
We've got the big bodies there for the centerpieces. You're going to think their injuries are all, like, hopefully over for them. So I think the Bucks and the Celtics on paper, over the course of a season, are your contenders on paper right now?
They have lost, though, Joe Ingles.
They have, but they'll survive. They'll survive only just because Joe Ingles, your favourite player, reunited with his favourite Welshman now.
Yeah. Can't wait. Paul?
But I'm going to say before we start, I don't think there's a team in the East without some question about it. It makes for it to be exciting. It's also made for it to be potentially a bit of a mess. It's very, very difficult to look at and predict. There is so much change and still doubt around certain teams as to who we're actually going to be seeing playing for them. Mm-hmm. I think you can make an argument for pretty much every team to be looking to be involved in some form of competition right through the season. But as to the contenders, I've got four. I'm going four. I agree, Milwaukee and Boston. I also think that dependent upon what happens the rest of this way in. 76ers, you can't ignore them, even though I'm not a fan. Even though I think, I said last season before a ball had been touched, that for me, they were overrated. They've still managed to keep, they've got Embiid, they've managed to keep Tyrese Maxey, they've managed to keep Tobias Harris. And putting Nick Nurse at the helm improves them for me. As little as I'm a fan of Nick Nurse, his actual attitude on the court, the man's a brilliant coach. The man's a brilliant coach. James Harden's trade request is the big doubt on them. You just don't know. Is he going to be around? If he is around, sorry, if he isn't going to be around, who replaces him? If he is still there, we've seen before, when he hasn't got his way at a team, he can be poor. So do they have a motivated player? But they remain contenders. And then, you know, I can't look by Miami.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I can't look by Miami. But again, they have huge questions around them. This, you know, ahead of last season, I'd got them, I think, either third or fourth in the Eastern Conference. So for them to actually finish, what was it, seventh or eighth, I was quite surprised. I'm not going to lie. They could have easily got knocked out in that play-in tournament. Chicago took them very, very close to the wire. But once they were in there, they were a hell of a dangerous team. They have lost Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. They've both gone. They're big losses. We don't know yet whether they're going to land Damian Lillard.
And what's that going to cost them? Yeah.
So, you know, you could have a player like Tyler Hero no longer with the team, or if he is still with the team, because he's been so heavily linked into trade talks, is he no longer feeling valued by Miami? And does that hurt the Miami culture, the Heat culture, as we hear about? The other thing is, for me, you can't ignore Spoelstra. The man's a superb coach, and they have seemingly reinvented themselves so many times so quickly. So I'm not saying that they're going to be contenders for the Eastern Conference Championship, but I do think they will be easily playoff bound. And once you're beyond that, they are always a contender.
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of what you guys say. I mean, I'll just quickly run through. I don't want to just say exactly the same what you guys said, but I got Milwaukee 1, I got Boston 2, I got Philadelphia 3, and they're my contenders. You've made points about, you know, Adrian Griffin's joining Milwaukee. We know him from his time with the Magic. Very, very good people, you know, a coach the players like. We saw that with the Magic, like I said. You picked up on Porzingis. They've announced that Derek White's going to start for the Celtics. Possibly depth might be an issue going forward. That's the only thing I think there. You touched upon Nick Nurse, obviously fantastic coach. You know, Doc Rivers couldn't get him over the line there in Philadelphia. They brought in Pat Beverly, who obviously is a bit of a dog. Kind of a player I think they need. I have put Mo Bamba's there as well. So but obviously all relies on, you know, what happens with James Harden and what they potentially get back if he is moved. I think he'd be silly to move myself. You know, he's in a situation there playing with, you know, Joel Embiid, MVP of the league last season. So I think he should give it another year at least and see how it works all out. But just one thing on those three teams, I just wanted to say about the contract extension, the Supermax given to Jaylen Brown. Just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that, which obviously broke a couple of days ago. Overpay, or is that something they had to do?
For me,
go you, but yeah.
Okay. for me, something they had to do. And I can see how he's earned that wage. He is a huge talent. Anybody who's saying, oh, I want to touch him with a barge pole for the Magic, simply because of the money, I think, rather than the talent. He's an excellent player. What was it he was saying about him being a third, fourth, fifth best option? No, he's a good player. But he hasn't proven...
I mean, they've got to the Eastern Finals a couple of times, haven't they? They've got to, so to I can, the finals
could,
as well.
You could also make a very, very strong argument for an overpay. Mm-hmm. But I think they've had no choice but to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But, I mean, it's Tatum's coming up the next year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. You know, if I'm the Celtics, I pay Tatum before I pay Brown. Obviously, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse, because obviously Brown's up before Tatum, but you know they might live to regret that, but obviously the cap is going to go up going forward, and we're going to get other players who are going to be paid a lot more than Jaylen Brown in years going forward. So no, I just thought it was interesting because it's caused a bit of unrest in Celtics Nation.
One of the things I didn't say about Boston is how much of a hit trading Marcus Smart is to the heart of that team. Clearly, you lose some defensive ability. Porzingis is a hell of an upgrade for offensive options. But I think it's interesting to see how much of a hit losing Marcus Smart will be for the heart and hustle and spirit of that team. And Milwaukee, a little bit of a disruption to the start of their period now because of the sad loss that Adrian Griffin suffered of the death of his 2-year-old granddaughter, which a couple of days ago. That's it's a disruption to the team, but there's bigger things than basketball. It's tragic for him.
No, absolutely, mate, absolutely. So then let's move on to your next tier then. So obviously teams who are obviously in contention to make the playoffs automatically, shall we call it. Let's go with Paul first this time.
I've only got two in this category.
Okay.
Cleveland. I've gone Cleveland and New York. Cleveland and the Knicks.
Okay.
Because I've got four in the previous one.
Yeah.
I think others may have in this one. But I've gone for Cleveland. Outside that four, I guess that the Cavs are the surest thing for the playoffs that the Eastern Conference has. They're easily a team on the rise. Fourth last season, crashed out in flames to the Knicks in the playoffs. That series did expose some questions about the balance of their team. But we aren't talking playoffs here, we're talking regular season, and they were superb in the regular season. They are a young team. They gained huge experience from that playoffs series. And they have upgraded their shooting by bringing in Max Strus. Getting him is a huge land. Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, Evan Mobley, Jarrett Allen. That's a hell of a starting five. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the bench, Ricky Rubio, Caris LeVert, Isaac Okoro, Georges Niang, Damian Jones, Dean Wade. They've got some good depth. But I do think adding Strus has helped. I do think that's helped them. I've got them as playoff bound. And I don't think the Knicks are going to do anything other than be a pest to teams again this year. Jalen Brunson was an amazing addition. He transformed that team into something that few expected last year. They were one of the surprising stories. They've added depth by picking up DiVincenzo. He's a good pickup. They are an experienced, somewhat veteran team. And they proved that they could advance in the playoffs by disposing of Cleveland. You know, I can run through the squad if you want. Brunson, Grimes, Barrett, Randall, and Robinson. That's, again, another good starting five.
Yeah,
solid. Throw in quickly DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, Isaiah Ruby, Isaiah Hart, and Sterling. Again, you've got good cover at each of the five positions. Good team.
No, you mentioned those last three. Josh Hart came in and, you know, he was absolutely everything he wanted. He was the coach's dream there. Hartenstein does what he does. And then Roby, he used to be on the Pelicans, didn't he? I always thought he was a bit of a pest, just getting into those, you know, places and getting offensive rebounds. So, he's a decent player. Gary, who have you got, son?
Right. And I'm just going to go back to a previous point on Jaylen Brown. With Jaylen Brown, I'm just going to say that they were in a corner of what they did there with Boston. Mm. I think Brown's really getting a lot of bias based on this year, where things didn't go well in the end. And yeah, okay, maybe he isn't. I don't think he is a first option on a team. But if we go to the NBA Finals the previous year, Jaylen Brown was really, really good against
it.
So they've paid the fee for a big market second option, is the way I see Jaylen Brown. You're in the big market. You're in the spotlight. The stories are there surrounding you. And they're in a window now in Boston where they've committed to Porzingis. So they had to do that deal. Now, if it doesn't pay off down the line, Jaylen Brown's issues of whether he's happy or Boston or not might come out to play again. So I wouldn't be surprised if a year or two's time that trade talk resurfaces, which segues me into my other teams. The two teams who I figure are good teams, but I don't think I've got down as going all the way to the finals, are the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. Philadelphia, the reason I've put them there, I agree with everything that's been said about Nick Nurse. I think he's a massive upgrade when it's Nick Nurse alone over Doc Rivers as a coach. But we have seen what James Harden does when James Harden isn't happy. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if they open the season with James Harden, if we see an out-of-shape Harden or a Harden who pretends to be out of shape and who's just dragging his heels, and you're not getting the value of Harden's contract is not really contributing to where it could be on that team. They need a 20-10 or a 20-8 James Harden on an efficient line for them to be a contender, because Maxey's going to get better. Harris is probably going to give you 14. Embiid could go again and be MVP with a better coach. James Harden has to be a credible second option for that team, or at least if Maxey steps up, the best third option in the league. And we know that if he's not happy, that's probably not going to happen. So I wouldn't be surprised if Harden did what Harden does and tries to strong arm his way out of there. The actual move, which makes sense, is to try and do a deal with Portland. But I don't think Portland are going to want James Harden, and I don't think James Harden would want to go to Portland. So then you're looking if they can get some type of three-way with Houston involved there or something. But I think Harden could end up costing the Sixers by just being James Harden. And this is why I didn't like James Harden when he was in Houston. I think the Miami Heat will make a noise. They'll probably have another season where they go between 4-6 in the standings, and then it'll get to the preseason and they might make a run again. But you've got to bear in mind what the Heat have lost. They've lost Victor Oladipo as well, I believe, which is another who's gone. And Jimmy Butler's a year older, and we saw injuries catching up with Butler as the playoffs went on and got in the finals. So I think, as good a coach as Spoelstra is, there has to be something else happens there. If you put Dame Lillard in there, depending on what the package is, that could change a lot. That you know, you could end up with a big three of Lillard, Adebayo, and Butler, which is then a big three up there with what Boston's got. And that changes a lot, because then you've got Spoelstra coaching them, which is massive. My next year, which I'll just, for the way this has been done, I had my teams as playoff teams as Cleveland for everything that's already been said. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but they are the up-and-coming team with the depth. And then I've got the Knicks making it, but I actually think the Knicks haven't had as good an off season as you would want to have if I was a Knicks fan. I think the loss of Obi Toppin's bad for New York.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is one injury to Julius Randle. And Toppin, when they needed him to come and start there, stepped up and played well. And I think he's a hell of an addition for Indiana. And we know that Thibodeau likes to whip his players with minutes. He's a high minutes coach. And there's even noises from the likes of Evan Fournier where it's about unhappiness and stuff there. And yeah, okay, it's Fournier. We don't expect him to make a huge splash at this stage of his career with New York, but it could be that you've got an unhappy camper in the camp.
So just make a point on Fournier there. He broke the Knicks' all-time three-point field goals made record, franchise record, the previous season. And then he plays in, what, 15 games last year? Thibodeau?
But
he's a bit bad way at him, though, did they?
He's an unhappy veteran.
Team Fournier.
Unhappy veteran.
Yeah. No, you're right. And how much are they paying him? 18 mil? I want to say, at least.
But he's an unhappy vet, and I would wager that he won't be the only unhappy vet or unhappy player on the Knicks, because the way Thibodeau is a very good coach, but the way he distributes his minutes excludes players.
It's all about that core group that he uses.
Has his guys, he sticks with them, yeah. And then there's a kind of on the outside looking in, to use a rare, I think it's stained lyric. but yeah,
top tune, mate.
Yeah, classic tune. But I just think it's one of those where I think, as good as signing as DiVincenzo is, I think, and Josh Hart, gee, I think you were the one who was saying he was huge for them, and he was brilliant. I think that Obi Toppin loss could prove costly.
Yeah. Okay. You guys have picked up a lot of stuff I've written down here, so I'm only going to skim through it. So my next bracket, the playoff bracket, I had the Cavs in four. Obviously, you've touched upon the starting lineup's fantastic. I think their depth's possibly their only weakness. I can't see anybody off that bench coming in and, you know, really giving them something. They're all reliable role players, but you don't have somebody there like a Cole Anthony who can, you know, just put up 25. Do you know what I mean? But that's me. I'm wearing my magic shades, magic blue shades, you know.
They're never off the G.
No, they're never off me. Never, never. Then I have the Miami Heat. You've mentioned Coach Spoelstra, obviously lost Vincent Strus. Obviously a lot is going to rely on what happens in this Lillard situation, who they lose. And then I guess the flock of ring chasers that potentially go there. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'd hate it if Dwight Howard went there. Absolutely hate it. And they're the kind of team who does that, you know. Think of old Magic players they've signed. Mike Miller, Mike Doliak. Rashad Lewis, Jason Williams, Penny Hardaway. It's horrible, horrible. Don't want to see that. But on a nicer note for Miami, I think Thomas Bryant was a good pickup. I wouldn't have minded seeing him ourselves. You just touched upon the Knicks. Again, yeah, I got him in six. Obviously, last year was, you know, experience for Randle and Brunson. Obviously, they plugged in Quentin Grimes, who did pretty well into that lineup. So, and they've got a lot of decent role players, like you touched upon, Hart, Hartenstein, Roby. But, you know, there or thereabouts, then I don't think they're going to trouble, you know, the top three or four. And then we get into the play-in zone. So, I think Gary's up next, the play-in zone, mate, or however you want to call your team.
Right, so the teams who could make the play-in.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, so I've got Atlanta.
Yep.
As a team who could make the play-in. I do think the loss of John Collins is not great for them. If I'm being honest, when I look at the rest of the team, I think they've got up and play coming players like Jalen Johnson, but I think that could be something that hits them. I've got the Orlando Magic as my eighth best team in the East. if we are fit, we could be seventh or eighth. We could, I think we legitimately could be, but there's other teams who could fit that bracket as well. We saw everything we needed to see when we got fit last year. The Magic were a 500 team. A 500 team usually gets you around seventh or eighth. So that's my logic purely on that. The teams to be wary of for me are the Indiana Pacers. When they've brought, look at what they've already got. They've got like Halliburton there. They've got Obi Toppin who's coming, signed Bruce Brown.
They've already like Obi Toppin, don't you?
I think.
I wind my Knicks mate up about Obi Toppin.
I just think coming off the bench, I think he's a very serviceable bench big, serviceable, who's got a point to prove. And I just think the business they've done smart. But they've got other players as well around there where Turner's a pretty good player. Buddy Hield can shoot the lights out. They're not a bad team. So I think they're kind of going to be knocking around. My other two teams might surprise people to keep an eye on. One of them's Detroit. And I think Cade Cunningham coming back is massive for them.
Yep.
When you add in Jaden Ivey. But I think there's other stories there to look at with the Pistons where I think Jalen Duren was a masterstroke of a pick by them. I didn't write off James Wiseman. Like when I saw him playing against us, I was like, what the hell's happening here? Because it didn't look good.
But
I think the bigger lens, when you look at Wiseman, when he's gone to Detroit, he's not a lost cause. And I know there was talk in our group about whether Mo Bamba for James Wiseman would have been the worst move in the world. And I don't think it would have. Wiseman fit our build quite well. And I really would have liked the idea of James Wiseman.
I'm with you.
Back up big in Orlando. So I think Detroit's doing a hell of a job.
What about Monty Williams there, mate? Just throw that in there. New head coach, obviously very well paid.
He's very, very well paid, but he does a similar thing to Jamal Mosley.
Yeah.
Where he can unite players in a locker room. And I think the Pistons have been smart. They've made good moves. They've got good young players. They've got Thompson coming in as well, who performed pretty well. If you want to buy into Summer League, I don't, but they've seen something in him to take a swing on him there. But I think Cade Cunningham coming back changes a lot for them. He was missing a lot of last season, and he is a difference maker, and I think he is going to be that good. My other team to watch is going to raise some eyebrows here, because I'm not saying Chicago and I'm not saying Toronto. I'm just going to say Charlotte.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
And my reasoning here, it all really is on how fit LaMelo Ball is to start with. But Miles Bridges has gone back to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And the LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges partnership was enough when you throw in Gordon Hayward, who is still there, I will add, to have Charlotte as a playing team. A seventh or eighth team with Borrego, I believe, was the coach then.
He is.
I would say Clifford is an upgrade for Borrego, whether he fits with LaMelo's style or not. But then when you start fleshing out the team, Brandon Miller doesn't have to be Rookie of the Year. Brandon Miller just has to be efficient on 12, 13 points a game to fit in there. And he's going to get the looks if you've got LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges and Gordon Hayward eating up a lot of the attention. So Brandon Miller could have landed there in a really good situation. And then it's just a case of them putting a serviceable body in the middle. But there's enough there for Charlotte, for my money, to possibly surprise people if everything goes right. But by everything going right, it's LaMelo Ball being healthy. And then it's Bridges finding himself, be able to play again after a year out. How healthy is Gordon Hayward? But I don't think Brandon Miller, if he's sensible, is in the worst position there, because Brandon Miller could just be a good shooter, be efficient, and that might be all they need him to be as a fourth option in Charlotte from day one.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I got him down the pack because I think there's other teams who've got more established players who've done it. And but no, I like the, you know, the different aspect of it. Yeah.
Oh, Rozier still as well, I believe, haven't they?
They do have Terry Rozier. Yeah.
This is arguably a sixth man fighter if you wanted. So
yeah, no, cool. PC Bacon.
I think this is an absolute fist fight of a category. Even my next three categories, the play-in, teams on the rise, and thanks for coming. As I said earlier, you can make an argument for any one of those teams to be involved in the play-in. So I've got Atlanta, Brooklyn, Chicago, and Toronto in this category as the play-in fight. That's not excluding Orlando. It's not excluding Detroit. It's not excluding Indiana. They are in my next category, the teams on the rise, teams I expect to be doing something. The Hawks, it's all about Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. That's what that team is. The loss of John Collins, I quite agree with Gary. Huge, huge hit. And Clint Capella's getting mentioned, it would seem, as another potential out of the door. They don't have a wealth of offensive options outside of Young and Murray, but Quinn Snyder as a coach has done a lot with very little previously. When you look at what he did with Utah originally, when he started making them a threat. They've got some good young players. They've got some good veterans in Patty Mills, Wes Matthews. I suppose you could make an argument for Bruno Fernando being a valuable voice, not as he's going to see much of the court. Brooklyn, last season's finish for me was a lot down to Kyrie and KD before that spectacularly blew up. But you're talking about Mikal Bridges coming in. He finished the season brilliantly. They are a bit of a rebuilding team, but you've still got Mikal Bridges, you've still got Cam Johnson, and if he's healthy, Ben Simmons, who you can't ignore his ability. Whether or not he calls back the same player.
I didn't even write his name down.
Is he healthy? Do we know? Is he healthy? Is he
allegedly healthiest he's been since his final fifth season?
I hope he is. I hope he is. I want to see us go up against the best players. And he was a damn good player. What they do have is a lot of veterans. And as a result, I don't expect them to sort of drift through the season quietly. They will compete. They do have some reasonably good players available. The bench is probably the weakness. I don't think they'll make any big shouts if they do go through into the play, if they get into the play-ins, but I think they will be in and around that fight. Chicago, much the same. Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan and Vooch, they'll always get you wins. They almost sneak past Miami, as we said in the play-in game last season. They're still a capable team. They've lost Lonzo Ball, being out is a huge hit. I expect them to be one of them teams that's in that mid-league competition. They're not going to do anything, but they're going to be in and around that fight, and they're going to take some wins off of teams. Toronto, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, even though they've lost Frank Van Vliet, replacing with Dennis Schroeder, I don't think that's necessarily a bad move. They've still got enough to compete. But Roger Kojovic has got a big set of shoes to step into. But again, Scotty Barnes, Poeltl, Siakam, Anunoby, Schroeder, it's not an awful starting lineup, and you've got some decent players to come off the bench. We don't know how good Grady Dick's going to be.
Gary does.
Right for the occasion.
You know he's going to be splashing it in from deep. I just don't think you can ignore them.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can ignore them. And I've not mentioned Gary Trent Union. They've got there as well. They've got some good players.
Good point. Right, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams. Was it 6? 5 teams in this category. I've got the Magic. I'm not going to talk about the Magic because we know what we've got. And we talk about it every week, obviously, you know, Black, you know, Jet Howard and Joe Ingles, great addition to what we had before. And we finished the season very, very well. So I do have the Magic in 7th next year. So Magic tinted glasses remain on. Right, in 8th. I have the, I just changed one in there. I have the Chicago Bulls. I think they've got too much experience, depth. Obviously, Lonzo's injury doesn't help them. Vucevic, DeRozan, Levine. Put those three on the court together and they obviously, they need to be, you know, better than what they have been. Caruso, Pat Williams.
Yeah.
So yeah, stick the Bulls at 8, and I'm sure Jimmy from Chicago Bulls UK will appreciate that. I've got the Raptors at 9. Obviously, Paul's just mentioned on Van Fleet leaving, Nurse leaving, but obviously Schroeder's very good, aggressive player to plug in there with Siakam and Barnes and Trent Jr. and Poeltl. So no, I can't see them really moving on or off, you know, from where they are at the moment. Atlanta, you guys have mentioned it. Coach Swin, I like the coach, Quinn Snyder, there. But other than that starting 5, I don't think they got much depth. Collins being traded, obviously, and you mentioned Capella being shopped around. You like that backcourt of Murray and Young. But other than that, you know, it's DeAndre Hunter, Sadiq Bey, and Capella.
Yep.
You know, might not be enough. What I like about the Magic here is we've got a lot of depth. And this is what I compare ourselves to all these teams in this bracket. And that's why I got us at 7. I like our depth. You know, if you're trying to run a 9-man rotation from the Magic, who's not going to be playing? You know, you're probably not going to play Jet Howard. Is Black going to be playing? Is Harris going to be playing? You know, if and we're going to come on to this in a couple of weeks' time or whatever. But, you know, a good team's going to have 9-10 men. We've got 13-14. I might be being a little bit biased here, but we've got a very good team. And, you know, it's a very good problem to have in that we've got two rookies, you know, picked in the top, what was it, 11 picks? And we probably can't even give them minutes because they need to beat out the current players. So I'm sure they'll fight it all out. So yeah, that was the Hawks at 10. I had the Pacers at 11. You know, Gary went to town on them. Obviously, Jarris Walker's a good player to add there to Halliburton, Mathurin, Heald, and Turner. And they've got a decent, their bench ain't too bad. So maybe I'm sleeping on the Pacers a little bit. So, yeah, that's my 7 through 11, but the Magic getting into the play-in at the moment. So, Spaken, let's go with your next category, sir.
Yeah, mate, I should just say, I didn't rank where people are going to finish.
No, that's fine.
I didn't do that, simply because I think there's too many questions at the moment around teams. Those predictions are way too early. I've got my thoughts, but mate, my next category is 3 teams, and I called it teams on the rise. First one, you've just mentioned the Pacers. For me, they missed the playoffs last season for one reason and one reason only, and that was the extended injury that they had to Tyrese Halliburton. That guy is quality. They could fit in as if it, I could easily make an argument to say for either play-in bound or playoff bound or play-in tournament. I don't think any of us expected them to be as good as they were last season for the period of time that they did push teams. They clearly on the rise under Rick Carlisle. They traded well previously to get Halliburton. They're like ourselves, they are banking on eternal growth. They are banking on their young core to grow, and bringing in Bruce Brown is such a strong veteran presence. That's a move. I think they drafted well. Bruce Wallace played well in summer league. Does he get the start, the eighth pick? Does he get the starting position? Or does Obi Toppin take that position? You can make an argument for either, but I think by the end of the season, Walker could well have secured that position for himself. But you look, Halliburton, Mathurin, Buddy Hield, Jairus Walker, Miles Turner as a potential starting five. That bench, TJ McConnell, Nembhard, Bruce Brown, Obi Toppin, Jalen Smith, Jordan Nwora, Daniel Tice, and Aaron Naismith. They've got some depth. I think they're a really good team. I think they could well be in and making a bit of noise. Mm-hmm. I've got Detroit as a team on the rise, and I could easily make an argument for them to be in perhaps that bottom tier as well. But, I mean, they tanked spectacularly last season. Did they get the reward? Potentially they did in picking up... Monty Williams, cracking coach. Cade Cunningham coming back is, with the amount of time he missed last season, it's almost like getting a new player. It's almost like having somebody new into the squad. They have a really good balance, I think, between the youth that they have in the squad, and I think they improve their veteran presence. You can see them being potentially a team that are going to take a few wins that people don't expect. And then I'd got ourselves in there, in that group of teams on the rise. We have to start better than we did last season. Otherwise, you can forget any questions of us being up and around. I've wrote many, many times in the past when we've done pre-season previews that the first 20 games of the NBA season statistically determine where you are going to be come the season. I know that sounds stupid, but if you've only stopped less than 500, your odds of being in the postseason drop dramatically. If you start at less than 500, so then first 20 games are huge. So if we start again in that same way, then we are really struggling. You can't have another one like it. We've got continuity. We've got stability. That brings us great familiarity as a group working together. And it would appear that we have an incredible camaraderie as a team. I think that we've had a good off-season. I think Joe Ingles is a brilliant pickup for this team. And like you said, G, there's an awful lot of question around who can start. We have to take care of business for ourselves. Forget anybody else around us. We have to take care of the business, and we have to start well. Because we are looking to turn over three positions to be in. We're looking to move up three positions, aren't we? It's quite a way. It's quite a step, but I do think we can do it. Yeah.
So I've then got to talk about teams really who I don't think are going to. This is my out category. Two of them I'm speculating on. And I'm speculating that I think Chicago and Toronto are going to blow it up this season.
Interesting.
So on paper, Chicago is a team. You've got LaVine. You've got DeRozan. You've got Vooch. That should be enough to get you like the eighth seed. Technically, you should be a playing team with that. I think Lonzo Ball being out is huge. I think they lost Pat Bev. Massive.
They have, yeah.
I agree. That's a huge loss.
Yeah. So that you straight away, you're talking to players who are point guards who make their teammates better, and they've got neither of them there, which I think is huge. I think Pat Bev's big for the culture that they needed to try and build if they wanted that in Chicago, because I do have question marks about it, if I'm being honest. And they haven't got to face the prospect of a pick coming to us. So I think if there's a time for the Bulls to blow it up, now's the time when they can still get something back for
Levine and DeRozan in particular. Vooch has obviously re-upped, but I think that team will get blown up as the season goes if it becomes evident round about when we did it that the Bulls aren't really going to do anything. Where they are the team now who, when they took Vooch from us, we were kind of stuck in purgatory. And I think they are the team now who are stuck in purgatory, and that's why I think they'll blow it up. And I think Toronto have already really going to start with that as well, because they've lost Fred VanVleet, they've lost Nick Nurse, and there's trade winds swirling around Siakam. And there's also been whispers about what will happen with OG. I think Schroeder's a nice little pickup for them, but he isn't Fred VanVleet. And the team, to me, when you look at the team that won the title for Toronto, I feel a little bit like when we lost Shaq. Like, okay, we didn't win the title, but we gradually got worse. Like, our players got older and people left, etc. And I feel like Toronto's done that, where they're just gradually getting worse. And I think now's the time for Toronto. They don't have Nurse there anymore. They're a good drafting team, etc. They've got Scotty Barnes there. They might have something with Grady Dick. They might not. But they've got the players. Geez, smuggling away into the camera.
I'm just waiting for the next joke from you, mate.
I would never do such a thing. I don't know what you're insinuating, but I'm vastly offended that you would consider this of AG after our moments in that pub. No, I think they might look at it and say, we've got enough youth here. In Scotty Barnes, but etc., where we've got enough confidence in our drafting history that they might think it's time to see what they can get back. I don't think Brooklyn's going to do anything, if the truth's known. I just think they're a team who's going to... I know we can say Ben Simmons, but we've been saying Ben Simmons for a few seasons now. And the last time I saw Ben Simmons play, I've got to be honest, I hate saying this, but he looked washed to me, and I think it's mentally. So unless he's had some help, I don't see Brooklyn doing anything. And then I don't think Washington want to do anything, if the truth's known. So I think Washington's got all the hallmarks of having the worst record in the league next year.
Yeah, no. I'll just quickly, you've run through your bottom dwellers there. I had the Pistons in 12. Obviously, like I said, I've ranked them, unlike you guys, as a young and up-and-coming team, possibly looking to maybe have a season maybe like the Magic did this year, just to, you know, prove that they kind of belong and get a few key wins, etc. You know, maybe pick up maybe 30 wins or something, just to show a bit of progress. And then my three bottom dwellers, shall I put them in order? Yeah, I shall. The Charlotte Hornets, the Brooklyn Nets, and then the Washington Wizards. I'll start from the top. Obviously, you guys have touched upon the Hornets. I know Gary mentioned, you know, they could surprise. They've got a lot of talent there. Brandon Miller didn't have the best summer league, although summer league's not always something to go by, but they've got a lot of talent there. They just need to stick it all together, like you said. The Brooklyn Nets, other than Mikal Bridges, I'm not hot on these guys at all. Really not. I if I was a Nets fan, I'd struggle to go to the games, to be honest with you. I don't particularly like the atmosphere at the Barclays Center. I think it's a bit drab, dark, and dingy. And other than Mikal Bridges, there's nothing really to shout about, if I'm being perfectly honest. You know, second coming of Spencer Dinwiddie, Cam Johnson's okay. I know they love Claxton there, but you know, Dennis Smith Jr. off the bench, etc. Maybe not for me. In fact, the Wizards possibly have better players with them. You know, Jordan Poole, Tyus Jones, Kyle Kuzma, they've just re-signed Gafford's. And then you've got Koulibaly, who's, you know, supposed to be pretty good. So I don't know how it's going to pan out, but I don't particularly, you know, have much to say about those teams, if I'm being perfectly honest. How does it round out for you, Paul?
I think both your points about the Brooklyn Nets are entirely valid. Entirely. And they were one that I could have easily brought down and put in this group. Absolutely. Can't argue with that. I know I've got them in the playing fight, but I could have easily dropped them down here. But For me, like, I've rounded it out with Charlotte and Washington. Charlotte, for some reason, they just seem unable to get out of this bracket, and I don't know what it is, because they do have some talent. LaMelo, cracking player. Terry Rozier, every time I've seen him, he's gone to town on us. Brandon Miller, guy's got a lot of potential. PJ Washington, and I assume that Mark Williams is going to be your starting center. Throw in, like you've said, Gary, Miles Bridges' return. That suspension holds firm for the first 10 games of the regular season. But after that, yeah, you're going to start seeing him come in. And I think that the suspension prevents him from being part of team activities, at which point it means he won't have worked with the team. So I am assuming that we're going to see a slow integration of the guy back into the team. But Cody Martin and Gordon Hayward both bring great experience and an ability to the team. So they could still improve, without a doubt. Health and chemistry. And as much as I like Steve Clifford, his coaching with this group may not be the right thing. And Washington, in some ways, I feel that this is kind of a way too early to put them in an also-ran column. But that's where I'm seeing them at the moment. But it'd be interesting to see what sort of chemistry they have in pre-season, because you've still got some good players. Jordan Poole's there. We know that they throw money at him. Kyle Kuzma is a good player. Daniel Gaffer's a good player. Koulibaly, like, that was your guy, wasn't it, Gary?
Gary and Mikey's guy, yeah.
You know, you throw in, what is it, Dallon Wright, Landry Shamet, Koulibaly, Avija, Muscala, Gallinari. They're guys off the bench, potentially. There's some talented players there. But the boots that they are trying to fill in Bradley Beal and Porzingis are huge. And I think that it's too much for the team this season. And like you, Gary, I'm not convinced that as an organisation, they want them to fill it just yet. So they're my boss. If you're asking me to put a team at the bottom, then I think I would put the Wizards as 15th in the East this time.
Oh, cool. So then, guys, I mean, we've gone on a bit now, haven't we?
You know, when it was said, this is going to be a quick pod.
I know.
Chance once we get talking like this. Not a hope in hell.
I know.
Sorry for boring everyone.
No, back to more sort of magic related, obviously next week now. But anything else to add this week, gentlemen?
No, mate. All good here.
No? Awesome. Okay, so thank you as always for listening and watching. Please hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Threads, and Twitter or X. Whatever it's called at the moment, all at Orlando Magic UK. So until next week, from Gary, Paul, and myself, go Magic.